gospel reading this morning is from Luke 7, verses 18 through 23. Listen for the gospel. So the disciples of John reported all these things to him, to Jesus. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Messiah to ask, "Are you the one who's to come, or are we to wait for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?'" Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and had given sight to many who were blind. And he answered them, "Go tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." The gospel of our God. Let's pray. Gracious God, help us to hear the word that you have for us this morning in your scriptures, in your word, and in the sermon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may not have noticed, but this church is not the same as it was 50 years ago. The building is, well, at least this part of the building is more or less the same, but the building has changed in many ways. We've added an education wing, offices. That courtyard room was put on, I think, 20-some years ago. Just the building. I understand there didn't used to be air conditioning, and if we don't get them fixed, there won't be air conditioning again this summer. What? What's Tuesday? Someone's putting a new thermostat in, but that's a question that session is still sorting out. Not just that, but the membership. Maybe you've noticed most of the people who are here were not members of the church when it was founded. I believe that list is a short one consisting of Mary Bartels and Mary Bartels. So when we see this, when I saw that passage about God says, "I will raise up for you a prophet like Moses," I thought that is connected to where we are as a church, that that's relevant. Why? Well, what does that mean, like Moses? God says, "I'll raise up a prophet like Moses." And I want to look at that for a minute. I'll raise up a prophet like Moses, put my words in their mouth. What does that mean? Does it mean sort of a clone of Moses, a duplicate? So we take Moses and we just like make another one? Even that person would be different if they came into a different time or culture. Is it maybe a continuation, picking up right where Moses left off and keep doing exactly the same kinds of things that Moses was doing? Because I don't think that quite worked out. We'll get to that. Well, Peter quotes this passage in Acts 3, verses 22 to 23, to refer to Jesus, and says basically that Jesus is the person of whom it was prophesied, "I will raise up another prophet like Moses." Was Joshua sort of a continuation of Moses, another prophet like Moses? Well, Joshua wasn't a prophet. Which brings us to this lovely screen grab I have for you. It's a movie Kristen and I saw a couple weeks ago. It's called Rumble. It is imagining I think, science fiction, fantasy kind of movie, where in the future or whatever, they have giant monsters and the humans have trained the monsters to wrestle each other for entertainment. What? Again? Caesar? Yeah, that's fair. But it's like, I've seen this done with robots, but this was a fun one. And it features a young woman whose father coached wrestling monsters and one of the children of one of the monsters that he coached. And it was this really fascinating, fun movie because the girl wants to grow up to be just like her dad, and the monster she's coaching knows that he's not like his dad and doesn't want to be anything like it. And together they figure out how they can go do what their parents did, but in a completely different way. And they come up with something that's completely different and new. Maybe that's what Moses is talking about. God says, I'll raise up another prophet who's like you. And there's sort of something similar but also dissimilar, the same but not the same. So themes this morning are about continuity and discontinuity, and sorry for the $5 words. So we're looking for someone who's like Moses but different. Wilda Gaffney argues that Moses' successor in that way, the first prophet and judge, because Moses is a prophet and a judge, is a woman named Deborah, who is prophet and judge, who judges the people and also speaks on behalf of God. But she doesn't do the things that Moses did. She doesn't lead the people out of Egypt. She doesn't feed them in the wilderness. She doesn't do those things. She's different. Samuel was a judge and a prophet, right? Samuel judged the people and he spoke on behalf of God, but he didn't do a lot of the things that Moses did. He wasn't born in Egypt. He had nothing to do with Egypt. He didn't lead people out of the wilderness toward the promised land. It's not the same thing. And you remember Elijah, he was just a prophet, but I would certainly put him in that vein of a prophet like Moses. But he did nothing like Moses. He did things that were completely wildly different from Moses. Daniel was a prophet in a strange land. He didn't do any of the things Moses did. He didn't deliver the people from Egypt, didn't feed them in the wilderness. He actually almost got executed. He didn't even liberate the people from Rome. Or in this case, Daniel. No, Daniel didn't get the people out of Babylon. Then we got John the Baptist. Jesus says John the Baptist is like Elijah. Jesus says John the Baptist is Elijah who was to come. John the Baptist doesn't do the things that Elijah did. John doesn't call down fire from heaven. Do we have this now? Jesus does the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew is at pains to help you see. If you read through Matthew, Matthew is at pains to help you see how Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus goes up onto a mountain and delivers a word from God, just like Moses did. But he doesn't get the people away from Rome. And amid all of these people, there's no prophet who's exactly like Moses who gets raised up. And I think that that's important for where we are as a church today. I know I've told you the story of Rabbi Zusha before, a Hasidic rabbi, and he was just, really good rabbi, everyone said so. And toward the end of his life, there's a story that says he came to his disciples and he was weeping, and they said, what's wrong? He said, I have just found out the question the angels will ask me when I come to judgment. And they said, Rabbi, what is it? He said, they won't ask me, why were you not Moses? And to that I could say, well, I didn't have the opportunity to part the Red Sea or that particular gift. They won't ask, why weren't you Elijah? I wasn't in that position. They will ask, why were you not Zusha? I know I've told that story before, but it just really resonates. According to Zusha, we will not be, as individuals, we will not be judged in terms of why we didn't live up to someone else's life. We'll be judged in terms of why we didn't live up to our own lives. In the same way, as a church, Fair Plain Presbyterian Church will not be asked why, of 2022, Fair Plain Presbyterian Church 2022, won't be asked why didn't we live up to who Fair Plain was called to be in 1972. Because that's easy, right? Because we don't have the people. Why wasn't it the church that it was in 1992? Nope, that's not the question we get to answer either. It's why did we not live into God's calling in 2022? The question is how this church can live most faithfully into who God's calling us to be today, here, 2022. How many of us are worried because the church isn't the way that it was in decades past? How many of us are feeling anxious or guilty because the church isn't living up to its calling that was discerned decades ago, that it doesn't have the membership or attendance that it used to? The mission isn't being done the way it was back then, when there were more people. Remember the story of David putting on Saul's armor? He says, I can't wear this. I'm not used to it. Just sort of lumbering around in an outfit that was made for somebody else. And they're hoping he'll be the second coming of Saul, but he wasn't. He was the first coming of David. And I wish I could remember now that basketball player. Somebody asked one of the now famous basketball players, are you the second Michael Jordan? And he said, no, I'm the first me. So what? Well, this church is different from how it used to be. But God is faithful. There's a sort of continuity and discontinuity. Y'all heard of the ship of Theseus? The ship of Theseus. Y'all heard of Theseus? He was one of the Athenian kings who was just super famous. According to the legends, he killed the Minotaur. Y'all heard the Minotaur? The body of a human and the head of a bull. Greek mythology. But according to the story, he sails that ship off and he sails back in. He comes back into the harbor of Athens, and that ship sat in the harbor for years. And people would, at some point every year, they would sail off on a ship to commemorate King Theseus, and they would sail back. But as time went on, some of the boards started to get rotten. And so they replaced them. And as the years continued to wear on, more and more pieces of the ship of Theseus wore out. And they kept replacing them. And the historian Plutarch asked the question, at what point, if you've replaced all the parts, is it still the same ship? If after you've replaced all the original pieces of Theseus's ship, is it still the ship of Theseus? If there's no pieces of the original ship left? This question has puzzled philosophers literally for centuries, actually millennia now. Thomas Hobbes, I want to say 16th, 17th century philosopher, and whatever else Thomas Hobbes was, he said, what if you rebuilt the ship with all different parts? The rotten parts that fell off, if you rebuilt the ship out of those parts, would the new ship that you built out of the old parts, would that be the ship of Theseus? Sorry, I had too much fun in philosophy class in college. But that question kind of still relates to Fair Plain Presbyterian Church. If you have all new people, all different people who are a part of the church, and you put the church in a different building, Is it still Fair Plain Presbyterian Church? I have a section here about externalism, and I'm just going to skip that because that's just going too much. If you want to learn about externalism, talk to me later and we'll have some fun. But it came down to the pieces are real, but the ship of Theseus is an idea that we say that's the ship of Theseus. We look out, we point out to it, we say that's it, even if we've replaced all of the parts one board at a time. Funny question. If we could scoop up this whole building and move it, I don't know, to Dowagiac or St. Joe or somewhere, would it still be Fair Plain Presbyterian Church? Sure it would. What if we scooped it up, but then we built another building on this site and we called that Fair Plain Presbyterian Church? Which would be it? I don't know. No, it would be this one. And the other one would just be the building that we used to meet in somewhere else. Stuff that says who we are and who we've been. It's not just a building. It's that shared sense of identity as Fair Plain Presbyterian Church. Y'all have walked to the bathroom down the hall that way, right? And as you're heading toward the bathrooms, there is this, I call it the wall of men and Alice. There's the 11 former male pastors and Alice, who was an interim for a little bit. It's a, you know, I call it the wall of men and Alice. And it sort of, it's part of a picture of who Fair Plain Presbyterian Church has been. That says, in one way, who we've been. But it's not just those men and Alice. It's the people who were here at that time. Who we are, in part, is connected to this building. It's connected to the budget. It's the people here. It's the name. It's the location. What's not part of our identity? It's clearly not who the pastor is. If you've noticed, as you walked past the wall of men and Alice, you may have noticed those pastors aren't here anymore. They're not the church. Can't be the individual persons, because as we said, Mary's the only one here who was an original member. Is it where we meet? Well, we know First Presbyterian Church is moved locations a number of times. So it can't be that. What is that continuity, though? What is it that makes it Fair Plain Presbyterian Church? It's us here now today. It is the faithfulness of God in us and through us and to us. It's our worship. Every Sunday the church gathers. You know, like Moses. You know, Jesus did not do Moses. Did you notice that Jesus, even though in Acts Peter says that Jesus is this prophet who was like Moses, did you anybody look at Jesus and go, wow, Jesus was really, really going out of his way to be exactly like Moses? Deborah didn't do Moses. I don't think she cared at all to be exactly like Moses. Elijah, Daniel, they didn't know Moses. John the Baptist, he wore a similar outfit to Elijah, but he was taking people down to the river, but he wasn't at pains to be like Moses. He was doing what God was calling him to do there in that moment. What if you install an outboard motor on the ship of Theseus? Would it still be the ship of Theseus? What if you installed the motor, took out the sails, would it take out the oars? Is it still the ship of Theseus? You bet. What if one Sunday you didn't have a praise team and so we just played some music over the speakers instead? Would it still be Fair Plain Presbyterian Church? You bet. That wasn't the point. I actually just thought of that now. The point of all of this is that we're not called to be who we were before. As individuals, as a church, we're called to be who we are now. And the question that we're asking is, how can we live more fully into God's call to be who we are, to do what God is inviting us into today? What skills, abilities, talents, gifts, dreams has God given us for today? And maybe, what do we have left behind that we can say, oh, that's not my calling anymore. I used to have that calling because I had those skills, talents, abilities, and I don't have, or that kind of time. I don't have that anymore. I'm called to do something else, something different. God is faithful, friends. God is faithful. Let's pray. God, thank you for the gifts, talents, abilities, everything that you've given us in this time, in this place. We pray that you will show us how we can use those as you're calling us to use them. Show us how to be the people that you created us to be truly ourselves. Lead us and guide us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.